Jamie and Locke over the air on a Friday afternoon on the Green Zone, getting ready for the Vanier Cup tomorrow at Mosaic Stadium. The first time Regina has played host to the U Sports Football Championship, the University of Montreal taking on the University of Saskatchewan. 1 o'clock is the kickoff tomorrow. But right now, let's drop the gloves.
Now, here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing!
More guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Our NHL analyst is Drew Romanda, joining us from San Jose, California. So, Connor Bedard fighting officials now, hey? This is where we're at in his young career, getting objectionable conduct penalty last night for complaining about what I thought was a penalty, Drew. What did you think of Bedzie's penalty last night?
It probably should have been a call. The way the referee was, I don't think he saw the slashing hands. Being what they've called this year, the officials, and how the NHL is trying to crack down on tripping, trying to crack down on slashing and hitting the hands, on, especially on scoring chances and taking scoring chances away, I thought it should have been. I also thought his reaction was totally normal and exactly what, in the heat of the moment, a guy would have done, especially when it's 4 minutes left and you're trying to score the potential go-ahead goal. And I thought the abusive official call was a tad light. It was, I thought, on shaky ground. Now, yeah, he got in his face, and listening to NHL radio today, and they're talking, well, he got too close to the official, and he waved his stick. He didn't wave his stick.
See, I thought it was more of circumstance, because just the way he went to the net, the ref was right there, so he's looking at, he's right there. It's not like that's he skated out of his way to go to the ref, but anyways.
That's what I thought, too. But it's, you know, what would bother Connor more, and what bothers Chicago Blackhawks, of course, with 2 seconds left on that penalty, Seattle scores the winning goal. That was what bothered him. But I thought it was I don't know what he, you don't know what he said. You've got an idea. Obviously, we've all been around hockey rinks. So, but in that situation, I think that the ref could have left it, and because Connor Bedard is not known for that type of behavior, but yeah, referees now they crack down on a lot of things, and so-called abusive official to me was a little strong of a term, but because that opens it up to a fine. So I thought it was light. I just thought it was not the best call I've seen in the NHL this year.
Oh, I need to ask a follow-up question. Will this impact his chances of making the Olympics?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sorry. Locker, go ahead. I was just joking.
Aren't you tired of that narrative already? Every time we talk about Connor Bedard or Macklin Celebrini, it's about will he make the Olympics? Will they make the Olympics? Every time I listen to anything about these two players, it's about will they make the Olympics? Just give it up. Friggin' rest already, folks.
All right. I won't ask.
I'm glad you weren't.
Question.
Glad you weren't listening to the show yesterday. Or maybe he was, and that's what happened.
Well, I wanted to ask about Schaefer and whether you think he has a chance of making the Olympic team.
Locker, seriously? Are you just trying to piss me off?
A little bit from column A. A little bit from column B. Okay, we'll move on to the orders. That shouldn't annoy you.
First of all, I don't have any idea. I think Schaefer's a hell of a player. The way he plays is absolutely amazing for a teenager. He's absolutely calm. He's smart with the puck. He's a terrific skater. He's got all the qualities made for the Olympic team. So, yeah, put him on my list. Check. Yeah, he's going to play.
Okay. There you go. You've answered my question. Hey, let's ask, I do seriously about the Oilers, as funny as transitioning from that to the Oilers. Would you start Skinner or Pickard tomorrow night in Florida against the Panthers, a rematch of the Stanley Cup final?
Well, first off, I think Connor McDavid is going to make the Olympic team, just so we get that out of the way. The other thing is that...
Are you sure? Did you see his defense last night?
100%.
Caught him.
He's going to play. I'm a big believer in earning your ice time, earning your starts. And Pickard played very well last night. So he would be my starter today. You've got to do
Thank
your
you.
Chaos.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Simple as that.
Well, if I see number 74 skating out there tomorrow, I might drive off a cliff.
Let's add to that. Whoa. Let's add to that. Goaltending isn't your team's biggest friggin' problem. Okay?
Well,
your number one friggin' problem. I can't believe Oilers fans looked at the roster this year. Davis and Donovan, my sons, who are very, very smart hockey, they're very smart sports guys. They looked at the lineup this year before the season started, and they both looked at me and went, they're not going to be nearly as good this year. They're not nearly as good as they were 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they were better than they were the year before, last year. And last year, or this year, they're not nearly as good as they were last year. They've lost too many key guys. They've got a bunch of guys who in the second, third, and fourth line guys are all the same type of player.
Yeah.
And all I kept hearing was Hyman's coming back. But Zach Hyman's not a driver. He is not a driver. He's a guy that goes to the net and puts a stick down. He's heavy in front, and Connor hits it with a great pass.
He creates situations, though.
Yes. Okay.
When he's in the corners,
I would gladly go over video with you, and I would like you to show me where he creates situations. The guy who creates the situations for the Edmonton Oilers 100% of the time is number 9.
So the forecheck doesn't create any situations for offense from the Oilers.
Of course it does, but who's the guy that gets the puck into the zone first? They're not a forechecking team.
That's the problem. That's why Hyman is actually unique in this situation.
Okay, one guy. I'm sorry. You guys can praise Zach Hyman all you want. He's a good, strong player. Yes, he got 50 goals playing with Connor.
I could have got 50 goals playing with Connor.
But also, when you look at the way their defense is structured, as much as I like Jake Walman, as much as I love Darnell Nurse and Ekholm and Bouchard, you can't have those three, especially, and even four guys on defense on the same team at the same time.
That's where we will agree.
Simple as that.
Yeah. It is defense. I'm not gonna.
It's not only the defenseman.
It's defense from the team.
That goal, the tying goal last night. I'm like, 90,
that was McDavid.
97. Why are you
getting
just
in front of him?
Letting this guy just, you're gliding and letting him go straight to the net. And I'm like, okay, it's got to take everybody. And I know he creates so much on offense, but I'm like, ugh.
McDavid had an okay game for not being on the score sheet last night.
My son was celebrating that goal, by the way, because I said you're going to bed at the end of the game. So when he saw the tying goal, he was like, yes, we're going to overtime. Woo!
Let me ask you guys a question, though. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys a question about the Edmonton Oilers. Do you think they're having fun?
No. I think that's the bigger problem. My wife mentioned that. My wife.
They're a bunch of mopers.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. That and the cross seam pass. Get rid of it.
Bunch of mopers.
They are. You gotta have fun. Like, what are you doing? Like, they look mad all the time. Even
because
when they win, they look
mad.
Do you know why?
Why are they moping?
Because they're not playing well.
No, because their captain's moping.
Yeah, he 100%.
He's a moper.
He is 100%. If he's not yelling, he's moping.
Yeah.
You see him smile when he scores a highlight reel goal, and that lasts about 14 seconds, and then it's over.
Drew, Connor McDavid's like the sad cat of the NHL right now.
Yeah.
He's Eeyore.
He's a sad cat.
He's Eeyore. Okay, let's take a quick timeout. We need to talk about the MVP out of the lineup for the Winnipeg
Jets. I enjoyed that, by the way. Thank you, Drew.
well, somebody please, someone can be able to do this on the old computer machine. Can someone make an Oilers logo instead of Oilers? Can it say Mopers? Can someone get that made up for me real quick? I need to see that.
That'll be done in about 14 seconds.
This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker and our NHL analyst Drew Remenda here on the Green Zone. Drew, I just sent you the image of the
somebody who's done it.
Edmonton Mopers.
Yeah.
So
There you have it.
Yeah, I get what people, you know, people say, well, of course they're losing, and then I understand that. But you can still, it's still a game. The great Igor Larionov said to me once, you don't work hockey, you play hockey. Go play.
So yeah, you can tickets. But there are players in the league that aren't. You know what? Like, you've got a Nathan McKinnon who's
Nathan
got.
McKinnon.
Yeah, he's also like that, right? But then.
Oh, he's 10 times worse.
But then, you know what? You got to have somebody to offset that. And I don't think McDavid has anybody that offsets that, right?
No, there's nobody on that team that offsets that. But that comes from your leadership. And Connor's a very, very, very serious individual when it comes to playing that game.
And that's
hockey.
And that's
Leon,
fine.
No joker either.
That's
and
fine.
That is fine because it's taken them to great heights. But the you still have to enjoy coming to the rink.
100%.
They don't look like they do.
Okay, Drew, let's go to Connor Hellebuck's knee injury out 4-6, MVP Hart Trophy winner. Okay, over to you, Eric Comrie.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. I guess we're going to, when you go to the most outstanding or most important player or most valuable player to the team, we're going to find out now where Connor Hellebuck is for the Winnipeg Jets. They're tied for third in the division with the Blackhawks and the Wild. How do you think they can play without their number one goaltender?
Well, I think this is a great test in that regard. Are you just about Connor Hellebuck, or can your leaders offensively and defensively take over? Can they look at this as, and most coaches will say this, that for every challenge, there is an opportunity. There's an opportunity now for the rest of the Winnipeg Jets to get their game going in the right direction. Now, the one great thing that they have is Adam Lowry's been back now for a couple weeks. And Adam Lowry, even though he's a third, fourth line guy, Adam Lowry is a guy who is very important to that team as far as the leadership goes. He brings a really unique vibe. When you look at Comrie's numbers, his numbers this year are downright good. 2.60 goals against average, 908, I think it is, save percentage. He's a guy that is a very solid goaltender. He's not Connor Hellebuck. So then that means that you've got to be more conscientious on defense. You've got to make sure you've tracked five guys back. You got five guys in your zone. You got to pressure. You got to block shots or box out in front. You've got to do all those little details coaches talk about when it comes to playing good defense. But also, the best way to play defense is play it in the other team's zone. As soon as you lose the puck, you've got to start checking. That's the game now. I'm talking to John McCarthy today from the San Jose Barracuda, head coach of Barracuda, playing in the NHL. And we were talking about the game now. And the game now is all about checking. You lose the puck, you've got to get on it.
Yeah.
Good teams get on it right away. Now, Colorado is the exception because they never don't have the puck. They are, you know, they're exceptional how good they are this year. They're scary good. But you still have to make sure that when you lose the puck, you've got to get on it. And it's going to be very interesting to see if the Winnipeg Jets can pick up the pace of their game away from the puck.
Quickly, the OHL suspension, I'm going to butcher his last name, Draguska? Did I get it?
Draguska.
Yeah, Steelhead.
Crack the other guy in the head?
Yeah. He got a year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Enough?
By more than enough, in my opinion. You should have to sit back for a long, long time and think about what you did. I understand what he thought happened. And yeah, it was a hard hit, and it was two guys coming in. And there was that little bit of confusion about who's going where. And he does get knocked hard, but the reaction is certainly ridiculous and out of control, and zero hesitation and absolutely no regard whatsoever for his opponent. So yeah, I've got no problem with that suspension. It was BS.
Yeah, McSorley got 1 year for Brashear.
Yeah.
And similar situation on this one.
Yeah. Did they get counseling when something like that happens, like forced by the league?
Well, I didn't read anything on it. I don't know if they do or not. I don't know, but you might want to just go look into some anger management classes, that's for sure.
Well, Drew, we will leave it there. Thanks, enjoy Drew. Your weekend, and more on Bedard and Celebrini making the Olympic team next week.
And Schaefer.
Talk about that on Monday.
Schaefer.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay. Really?
We'll do. Schaefer's already on. I told you Lockery's already on the team.
Well, and let's
We're putting it on the board. Drew Amanda guarantees.
Let's rethink Kale as well. McCarr.
Yeah, let's rethink
it. They might be rethinking Braden Point. But anyways, Drew, have a great weekend.
Thanks.
That is our NHL analyst, Drew Romenda, here on the Green Zone as we get to the one-minute drill. The Vanier Cup tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff, Mosaic Stadium in Regina. The University of Saskatchewan Huskies, the University of Montreal Caravan for U Sports Football Supremacy tomorrow on the NHL ice tonight. Just a handful of games, and the Winnipeg Jets will be without Connor Hellebuyck for 4 to 6 weeks because of a knee injury. He needs arthroscopic surgery in that knee. A lot more to come here on the Green Zone, including our star interview of the week. There is no question. Our favorite moment of the week was Trevor Harris and AJ Ouellette. You'll hear part of our conversation next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. We're asking you today, what's your favorite memory of 2025 season or favorite memories of the 2025 season as Saskatchewan's been celebrating a Grey Cup championship for the first time in 12 years? What were some of those moments you'll reflect on this season for the Green and White?
877-332-8255.
We've had a few. The Mario Alford walk-off. The punt return. We've had the pick two. We've had the AJ Ouellette run down the field. Nobody said the Tommy Neal West final touchdown. That was a moment, man. That was a moment.
What about the recovery sales in the Grey Cup?
Oh, the Grey Cup.
That was a massive moment. They score there. That's a different game.
1-877-332-8255. What are your top memories of this, or maybe it's, you know, taking your kid to their first game, something like that. What will you remember about this Grey Cup season of 2025? Two gentlemen who joined us yesterday. It was such a great chat.
They're going to remember this year.
Yeah. That if you missed it, we want to make sure you hear it. I listened to it again, and I'm picking up things every time I listen to that I skipped by the first time. Trevor Harris, MVP, AJ Ouellette, who got a couple of votes for MVP of the Grey Cup game, were in studio chatting about this season, chatting about the Grey Cup moment. But, of course, a lot of the conversation has been about Trevor Harris's future, and Locker wanted to know who was the most creative in trying to convince him to get back.
AJ threatened to kill me. no. Yeah, I mean, it's really been a topic of conversation quite a bit this year because – I think it's just because of my age. Like I feel like I was supposed to feel a certain way. People just kept asking. I was like, am I supposed to feel old? Am I supposed to feel brittle? Or am I supposed to feel like deteriorating some way? And I just haven't felt that. And, it was more or less just like, I'm going to take a moment to kind of think about it every off season. And I still feel the exact same way. I'll make a decision in the next week or so. And, kind of just go from there.
Are you going anywhere?
Oh, no. But yeah,
I'll kill him, Trevor.
I'll kill him. He's a competitor, okay? So if you hype him up, it doesn't do much for him. But if you tell him he can't do something, that's going to set the fire underneath him. So I remember when he was giving his little speech, everyone's cheering, one more year. And I'm in the, like, media area where all the cameras are, and I'm cheering, you suck.
Yeah, he's the guy that at practice I'll throw a great pass or whatever, and people are like, "Dang, Trev, good pass!" And AJ's like, "You're trash." I'm like, "Shut up, little kid."
You can see the bond of this team. What was it like to finish the job on Sunday when the ball falls incomplete, AJ?
Oh, it was. I can't even say words that will mean what that moment meant. I just found the closest person to me just to give him a kiss. And then I promised Andrew I'd give him a kiss. So I had to go find him to go give him a kiss. And then I'm trying to find everyone else to hug. And Trevor spoke on this earlier. It was the seeing everyone else celebrate and seeing the guys from here and all the work that the coaching staff put in and every player on the team contributed. Just getting to see them celebrate was my favorite part of the day.
Your celebration was a bit different.
Yeah.
Down on one knee. I imagine saying some few words to Lord and Savior and things like that. But what was going through your head?
Yeah, I took a few steps onto the field and I was just like, okay, act like you'd been there before. And I was kind of was just overcome by emotion. And that's kind of just what you saw. And I haven't told anybody this, but on day four, the night before the game, I was sitting in my room just kind of reflecting. And I found myself crying. And it was just so much gratitude for what this group has meant to me, the friendships, the bonds that this team has created, and how grateful I am to play for Mark Mueller, for Coach Mace, for the green and white. And I was like, I just need to go take a walk. And so I put a hoodie on to try and not get noticed and just took a 20-minute walk, and I just put on some gospel music, and I just sobbed. And just out of gratitude, it wasn't out of sadness. It was just so thankful to be able to play in this moment, because you grow up and, you know, as Americans, you grow up dreaming of the Super Bowl. But I've been up here for 14 years, so that's shifted. I want to win Grey Cups. That's what that's what I want to do. And the fact that I have kids that understand what's going on, the fact that I get to play for the team that when I was playing in Toronto, I was like, someday I want to be the quarterback of the Riders. And to be able to be in this moment was just like one of those things. I was just overcome by emotion of gratitude. And it was just such a great time going out there and just kind of reflecting real quick for those 20 minutes and just taking a nice walk.
One of the things that we've learned about this team outside looking in is that this team has not only got a great culture and you guys seem to get along, but you're also really, really authentic. AJ, is that something that you think was passed down from the coach, or was that something that you think individually you guys all brought to the table?
Yeah, everybody's their own person, right? And coach wants you to do that. That's when you're going to be at your best, when you're comfortable, when you feel like yourself. Yeah. If you're trying to change and be someone you're not, you're always going to be constantly thinking about what you should be saying, what you shouldn't be saying, how you should be playing and all that. He wants guys to play a certain way, so he goes and gets those type of people so they don't have to pretend to be anything that they're not. And, yeah, like you said, it starts from the top guy, right? Coach got the guys he wants, and he tells us act the way we do.
What is it about Corey Mace? Like, people gravitate to him. He inspires people. What is it?
Man, he's got it. Whatever it is, he's got it. I saw it in Toronto, the way that he could get a room to just focus in and just follow his lead, his ability to say the right thing at the right moment, and his ability to control emotions no matter what the circumstances are, how good or how bad it is. He can control his emotions.
It's authenticity. And I like to, if there's three, four hallmarks of leadership, authenticity is one of the main ones. And that's what he is. Did you see him after the game dancing? What head coach acts like that?
Yeah.
None. But he does, because it's who he is, and people love him for that. And people will go the extra mile and do whatever they can for him because of that. And he loves the players.
This one's for you, AJ. Tyrone from Saskatoon, he said, how much do you think we could raise here from Riders Nation if you gave up your hair for the 50-50?
Oh, my God. Record-breaking, I would say. And that might have to be a thing towards the end of the career.
You think people want to keep his hair?
No, we just want to cut it.
Cut it!
Oh.
Like for charity.
Offer it up. Shave the head for charity.
Oh, gotcha. I was like, man, raffled off for 50-50. I was like, man.
You would be in that raffle trying to get the loss.
It's because I was going to do it when you go to sleep tonight.
yeah. But I was also thinking about the hair, the camper. I can't be living in a camper next year. Having a kid in the offseason, right? So I got to grow up and...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you think he's going to grow up? You guys think he's going to grow up?
I hope not.
That's not going to help. It didn't help me.
I was going to say.
I'm still waiting to grow up.
What's the advice, Trev?
Oh, no, he's going to be an awesome dad, man. All seriousness, I know, like, joke around a lot, but not about being a dad. He's going to be an outstanding dad because he cares about who he's with right now, and he's going to be a terrific dad.
I witnessed it. I was still doing the post-game show from Winnipeg, and I'm on the air, and we're talking to Saskatchewan and getting callers, and, oh, Grey Cup, and you guys have already gone into the locker room to celebrate. The field's empty. I had my back turned for a minute, and I turn around, and A.J. Ouellette and Logan Ferland are just lying in the middle of the field. Why'd you come back out? What was that moment like to share with Logan Ferland?
So it's Logan's idea. I got in a broke away from the mosh pit of the celebration in the locker room, and he looked at me and goes, do you want to go on the field? I'm like, yes, I want to go on the field. And we walked out there, and as soon as that cold weather hit and, like, the stands were empty, it was just – a surreal moment, and I'm like, dude, I needed to do this. And we walked out there in the middle, and we laid down on the confetti, and we said, man, in like 20 years, this is probably the first thing that we're going to think of when we think of the Grey Cup is just this. And then, well, we sat there for 10 minutes talking about anything except football. And it was just like, just life with brothers. And yeah, I'm never going to forget that conversation with Logan.
It's interesting. You hear guys speak about football and what the game means to them, but the one thing that I think applies to both of you is in the off season. You hear guys. I just heard that Marshawn Lynch interview with Luke Wilson on his podcast, and he was like, "I still get up some mornings and I want to hit somebody." Like, do you have that? Like, do you have to take a break, or when you're not playing, or like, how does your mind? How do you relax in the off season and get that out of your system?
I'm lucky enough to have a sports performance gym that I own back home. So my relaxing is yelling at kids to lift more weight, sprint faster, and like just be a champion in their sport, right? So it's going to be something I miss for sure, is getting up and hitting someone. I know it was hard for me to celebrate immediately after the game and the next day. Like, I remember Andrew looking at me, he goes, why do you look angry? I'm like, I'm still thinking of three plays in the game. And then I think there's another game next week. Like, it's just.
What three plays?
There was just some run plays. I felt like I could have been in there a little bit better. And then, of course, the penalty there at the end.
Do you have that? You got to as a quarterback.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to watch the game. And then AJ made me watch the game today. And sure enough, there was three plays that I feel like I wish I would have done differently. But I'll tell you, Montreal did a great job defensively. They had a tremendous plan. They mixed up their coverages and the way they kind of rolled their rotations and whatnot. They did a really good job. And then by a few drives in, we'd kind of figured it out in terms of, you know, what we were trying to do and how we could kind of combat it. But, yeah, there were still three plays that, you know, you kind of want back.
Saskatchewan wants you both back.
That's awesome.
Can you promise them that?
I can't yet. Can't yet.
I wish I could call the shots. I do not.
You still need a call from somebody. I understand. But how bad do you want two straight? Everybody's talking about never happened in Saskatchewan Rough Riders history. Let's get six. Let's go back to back.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's ideally what you'd want to do is like, that's immediately like, I feel like I kind of have a little bit of a sickness and you kind of ask like, what do we do to kind of unwind? I don't. It's just, I've never been wired that way. I've just always felt like, you know, underdog, keep the mentality of keep working. I've already started off-season workouts, started them yesterday, and AJ's same way. You know, we're just like, what are you going to do? Like, just sit here and not, like, we like to work out. And so we just went in and got after it a little bit, and it was fun. And that's immediately what you start thinking is like, this was cool. How do you do it again? You know? But it's like, oh. So far away, a lot of work to do, but at the same time, there's a lot of opportunity in the time and the off season to, if it works out, to get better and find how do you kind of fill those holes and find the gaps in the game of how to get better and, you know, just try and get yourself a little bit more youthful. And I'd like to be able to come back next year and be able to run a little bit better and push the ball down the field a little bit better. And so there's things that, you know, I know AJ's probably brainstorming and we'll talk the whole way home. I can promise you that of things that we're going to do this offseason, just kind of racking our brains a little bit, and how can we get better?
What's going to be on that bracelet next year?
That's a great question, and Mace asked me that, and I don't know if this was like a get me to answer this question, meaning I'm coming back, but
that might be the most creative like, way to try to say
it. But I do feel like I'd be shocked if it didn't work out, but that's something that Mace asked me. He goes, what's our mantra next year, Seven? This is going to be tough. He's like, I feel like we used the good ones. I was like, but I was like, coach, I was like, it'll happen organically. We'll get it, and it'll be fine.
Trevor Harris, AJ Ouellette, that full conversation, that was a portion of it you can find at cjme.com, cklm.com, wherever you find the Green Zone podcast.
YouTube. The video's out, too.
Yes, you can watch it on YouTube. Where you Look can also us. Find the Blitz podcast with Britton and I on YouTube, too. If you want to go back through the season. We got another one coming up next week on free agency and a wrap on the season and everything else with Britton and I. But we thank the Rough Riders setting that up with AJ and Trevor Harris. A lot more to come here on the Green Zone, including we're asking you for your memories of the 2025 season. What will stand out to you when you reflect on a Grey Cup season for the Green and White? This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie Locker with you in the Green Zone, asking for your Grey Cup season memories. What are those moments that are going to stand out to you when you reflect on a 2025 season with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Let us know. 1-877-332-8255.
Have you got one? Have you narrowed in on one yet?
It's going to be hard to top that Tommy Neal touchdown in the West Final.
Okay. I got mine is a little off the board.
That doesn't surprise me.
We'll get to that next.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Vanier Cup is tomorrow. The University of Saskatchewan Huskies football team will go for a national championship as they take on the University of Montreal. 1 o'clock is the kickoff, being hosted in Regina at Mosaic Stadium. Tomorrow on the ice in the National Hockey League, the Winnipeg Jets will be without goaltender Connor Hellebuck for 4 to 6 weeks. They play the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. The PWHL season begins their third as the Vancouver Golden Eyes take on the Seattle Torrent, two new franchises for the PWHL that starting off tonight. Of course, Toronto also plays Minnesota earlier on. And the Canadian Premier League, Soccer League, is down a franchise. I was just in their locker room all week as the Winnipeg Valour franchise is folding for.
Remember that snow game in Toronto? Yeah,
that was the championship game?
Yeah. Quote of the year from Scotty. He goes, I just found out we got a soccer league in Canada.
Probably why the Valour FC are folding after 7 years. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.